So I'd like to take a look at one or two celebratory Rambans. There's a celebratory Ramban at the end of this week's Parsha, at the end of Mishpatim. It takes a pasuk, and as we'll see, it takes a far more positive view of it than some others do, with the relevant halacha l'masa. And then, if time allows, I would love to see a Ramban that was brought to my attention, Shalom Aleichem. A Ramban was brought to my attention over the course of this past Shabbos by Mr. Rosenblatt, Milt Rosenblatt, which also is, I think, subtly but very profoundly celebratory. So let's take a look. I'll put it up on the screen in case you have Sfarim, feel free to open up. So let's open with the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Here it's up on the screen. If you have a sefer, feel free to look inside. Perek Chaf Dalet Pasuk Yud Aleph. The end of the Parsha, the bulk of Parshas Mishpatim, moves on to content. As we know, a whole slew of dinim. Mishpatim opens with the halachas of Eved Ivri, Na'am Ivriya, and moves on to much of Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, much of the nuts and bolts of dinim amenas are rooted in Mishpatim. Then Mishpatim moves on to talk about some of the key dinim of Kashrus. Mitzvah Tzliyas Ba'aretz appear here. Yom Tov appears here. Such a rich array of dinim in Parshas Mishpatim. And that's around two-thirds of Parshas Mishpatim. Then, the end of Parshas Mishpatim returns back to the narrative of Parshas Yisrael. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim, we get the missing aspects of Mamad Har Sinai, Nasa V'Nishma, and the Bris. We learn in the end of Parshas Mishpatim that there was a carbon involved, and Moshe Rabbeinu was, as it were, the broker who was overseeing the procedure of Kalal Yisrael confirming their bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is Bris Sinai. This is our covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our thorough conviction al kalpanim, to our commitment to Torah, and mitzvahs, and our membership, our status as Am Hashem, come what may. And then near the end of that episode, Rosh Hashanah is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you can go back into Har Sinai. The Torah describes, here in Perek Chaf Dalet, that Moshe Rabbeinu is together with the Zakenim. Vayal Moshe v'Aaron, Perek Chaf Dalet Pasuk Tes, Yal Moshe v'Aaron Adava Avihu v'Shevim Mizikenei Yisrael, the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Moshe and Aaron, Aaron's two elder sons, Nadav and Avihu, and 70 of the Zakenim. And the Torah says something surprising in Pasuk Yud. Vayiru Asel Okei Yisrael, they have a vision of the Ribbono Shalom. V'Sachas Raglav K'maseh L'Vnasa Sapir Ch'etzem HaShemayim L'Tohar. And the vision, the prophetic vision that they have, involves some sort of sapir, some sort of blue stone, blue precious stone. Some debate about whether sapir is sapphire or sapir is lapis lazuli. And they have some sort of prophetic vision of Kisei HaKavod. And the pasuk says, "V'atzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado." Kadosh Baruch Hu does not send out his hand towards the atzilim of the Jewish people. They have a vision of the Ribbono Shalom, and they ate and drank. So Rashi says that this is a very critical pasuk. Rashi says this is a reference to Nadav Aviv and the Zakenim. Lo shalach yado, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't send out his hand. Miklal, says Rashi, hayru'im leshalech b'amiyad. They deserve punishment. Well, what do they deserve punishment? Yechzos Elokim. What does that mean? Are you mistaklim b'lev gas? Mitoch achil ashtia? They were having some sort of extraordinary, sublime nevuah. Sounds like something like a maisa merkava type of nevuah. And they're eating and drinking. What is this? Rachman Letzlan, a show? We're eating popcorn. This is a sublime experience. And they were mistaklim b'lev gas. They were taking it too casually. They were being far too nonchalant. about it. The Ramban has a very different approach. Ramban says that this pasuk is not critical at all. As Rashi goes on to say, the other Rashis in the Pirush Al Torah, he says that they really deserve punishment at this point, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu held off, it wasn't the right moment, but the punishment in Parasha Shmini was Aleph Nisan, at the time of the inauguration of Mishkan, when Nadav Yehudu passed away. So Rashi understands that the onus of Nadav Yehudu at the time was really in part in response to the chet right here. Lo shalach yado, they didn't get the onus that they really deserved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu postponed it. But the Ramban is a very different approach. Ramban takes a far more positive understanding of this pasuk. He writes here, v'tam, a couple lines in, the tam lo shalach yado, the meaning of that phrase, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not send out his hand, did not punish Nadav, Aviyu, the Zekanim, Bavur sha'amar v'akonim v'amal yersul alo s'lashem pen yifrutzbam. Rabbi Moshe already said the Kohanim and the rest of the Jewish people should not charge up Har Sinai. They may be punished for that. Hodiya b'chan sh'nizru b'kach. Ramban says, the pasuk doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't punish them even though they deserved it. Ramban says, rather the pasuk means HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't punish them, they didn't need to punish them. They respected the boundaries. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set boundaries. They respected those boundaries. Ki hayu atzilei b'nei Yisrael. Ru'uyil mashachozu machzazeh. They had a higher level of nevuah than other Jews did. It was appropriate. The hatam. Ki chazu eselokim v'lo horzu v'lo salshem. They didn't try to go further up the mountain. And he says, Vayochul Vayishtu was appropriate. Rashi says, that was the chet. You're having such a glorious nevuah, and you're just casual about it, and you're munching. Rashi says, Rachman Latzlan, that was the chet of Nadav Avim and the Zekanim. The Rabban says, no, Adrabba. They had a nevuah, V'lo Shalach, the Elitzilei B'nei Yisrael, V'lo Shalach Yado. Because Bo didn't punish them, because they maintained proper boundaries. They appreciated, they engaged the nevuah that they were given in the proper way. They didn't seek to cross the boundaries further up the mountain, or spiritual boundaries either, to seek to dig deeper in the nevuah than HaKadosh Baruch Hu was offering. And Rabban says, not they saw this and yet Vayochel Vayishtu, but they saw this and therefore Vayochel Vayishtu. The Tam, says Rabban, the Tam Vayochel Vayishtu, the meaning, the interpretation of their eating and drinking, she'achlu sham hashlamim b'sachti sahar. It means after this nevuah, not during the nevuah, as Rashi understands, they were meanwhile eating and drinking. Ramban says there are two different episodes here, two different stages. They go and they have this extraordinary nevuah, and they take it in. It was glorious. It was sublime. They take it in very soberly. And then, subsequently, they repair to down below. They head back down to the foothills, to the base of the mountain, and there they consume karbanos. They're no longer on the mountain, but they're next to the mountain, rather than back in their tents. What's that supposed to mean? Ramban says this is incredibly positive. Not that they were eating while they were having the nevuah, but they headed down and then remained at the foothills of the mountain to consume karbanos. So Ramban says, we know the din is that karbanos have to be eaten in particular places. There's a location. Any karban which whose meat is meant to be eaten, obviously excluding the karbon ola is entirely burnt on Mizbeach. But all the other karbanos, chatas, asham, shlomim, and so forth, where the besar ha, there's a segment of the animal that's offered on Mizbeach, the dam, the emurim, where the meat is meant to be consumed by humans. So Besar Karbanos is meant to be eaten in demarcated locations. Kutch, and the Mishnayos tell us in the fifth parak of Zvachim, parak Ezehel Makoman, based on the Psukim in Chumash, that we categorize karbanos into two sets. They're the more holy and the less holy, katshe katshim and katshim kalam. The katshe katshim, like a chatas or an asham, are only eaten in the azara, in the Beis HaMikdash itself. The less holy karbanos, like a shlamim or a karban pesach, they have reduced kedusha. They still have plenty of kedusha. You can't do whatever you wish, but you have somewhat more latitude. You have the right to eat them where they still are teunim mechitza. Shlamim are meant to be within certain boundaries. Well, what are their boundaries? It's not limited as narrowly to the Beis HaMikdash itself. Nechalim b'Yerushalayim, lefnim enachomer. In the days of Beis HaMikdash, you had to eat it within the walls of the city of Yerushalayim. You weren't so limited like the Katshe Katshim to just the Azara. It had to be within the walls of Yerushalayim. And then the Mishnayos tell us, at the end of Zvachim, and at the end of the first paragraph of Megillah, that at an earlier stage in Jewish history, pre-Bayis Rishon, during the centuries of Mishkan Shiloh, that era which ends at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, u'b'Shiloh, b'chol ha'roa, the equivalent of eating the shlamim within the walls of the city of Yerushalayim, in the era of Shiloh, it was as long as you were within eyeshot of Shiloh, down the mountain, the surrounding mountain, b'chol ha'roa, if you were close enough to see. And the Mishnayos make that point. You have to figure out what area around Shiloh corresponded to the within the walls of Yerushalayim surrounding Beis HaMikdash. So the Rabban says, and how about at this point in Jewish history? What was the equivalent? Where they brought karbanos, it says in the end of Mishpatim, they brought zvachim. Where were they allowed to eat them? Says the Rabban, the Chan, the equivalent of the city of Yerushalayim, or B'chol HaRoeh, being within eyeshot of Shiloh, the Chan at this point, Hayu Nechon Lefnei HaMizbeach, Tachas Ahar, Lo B'machane. They were supposed to eat the Karban Shlamim at the right near Har Sinai, near the Mizbeach, as opposed to going back to the camp, further from the mountain, and taking it back home to your own tent. They were not allowed to eat it in their own tent. That would have been the equivalent of eating it outside of Yerushalayim. They had to eat it at the base of the mountain. And that is exactly what they did do. In other words, says the Ramban, the eating here was a holy and appropriate eating. They were eating karbanos as they were supposed to. Not on the mountain, but also not back home. They ate it at the base of the mountain. So they had this extraordinary nevuah. And then they come down, retreat to the bottom of the mountain, and they eat, they follow up on the nevuah with eating karbanos. Now, Rabban explained, goes on to explain, this was a follow-up. It wasn't just one and then the other. The tam vayishtu, why are they drinking? She'asu simcha v'yomto. This was they made a kasudas yomto. What was the yomto? A shavuos. Well, what was the yomto? It wasn't exactly shavuos. It was near shavuos. It says, now, ki ken chova l'smach b'kabalas ha-Torah. We are obligated to make a seuda, to have simcha over receiving Torah. Kasher tziva b'chasvam kol divrei ha-Torah ala avonim. Torah tells at the end of Chumash that you're going to write all of Horos Shah as a part of the entry into Eretz Yisrael. There was a one-time chiyuv to write all of Torah on the stones, different stones in the Yarden, beyond the Yarden. You're going to write all of the Sefer Torah, all the Torah down. V'zavachta shlamim. The Torah says part of that procedure was supposed to include bringing shlamim. V'achalta sham. You'll eat the carbon shlamim. V'samach lefnei Hashem lokecha. That'll be an expression of simcha. He says you find it by Shlomo as well. Shlomo has the nevuah as a young man. He just became king. And Kadosh Baruch Hu grants him great wisdom. Hechachma v'hamada nasun lach. And what follows on that? Immediately the Ramban points out, he throws a party. Why is he throwing a party? He says, Ramban, a sudas mitzvah. A sudas mitzvah in conjunction with Kabbalah HaTorah. And he says, that's what the Tanoim point out. V'amar Rabbi Elazar. V'amar Rabbi Elazar. Mikan sha'osin suda legemer shal Torah. This is the source. That you make a suda when you complete Torah. That he's quoting, Rav Shavel points out, from Shir HaShirim Rabbah. From Medrash Rabbah and Shir HaShirim. And then he goes on to say, B'nemar B'David Aviv, B'hisnagvam L'bin B'Beis HaMikdash. David, the father of Shlomo, when he's overseeing he was not Zocha to be involved in the actual construction of Beis HaMikdash, but he sought to at least involve himself in gathering the materials and seeking the donations. And there as well, the Torah, the Psukim tells, they ate and drank in the presence of Ribbono Shlom, as in the Makom HaMikdash, or the equivalent of Makom HaMikdash, that's what Lifnei Hashem typically means. At that time, on that day, b'simcha gidola, the achilas shtiyah was a, this was a sudas mitzvah. Afkan b'yom chasunas haTorah askein asu. That was going on here as well. Ramban understands, as I said before, it's a celebratory Ramban. Ramban understands, unlike Rashi, who sees this pasuk as a critique of Nadav and Avihu and the Zakenim, that they were eating while they were having this nevuah, and that was entirely inappropriate. It was entirely disrespectful. Ravan says no. They had an extraordinary nevuah, a nevuah which they were deserved and which they appreciated deeply. And then they followed it up by going back down the mountain after the nevuah had completed, and they had a suda with a carbon shlomim. They ate and drank, and they had a simchas mitzvah. What was a simchas mitzvah? The equivalent, Rabban seems to say, of a siyum. Mikan she'osel mishter legemer shel Torah. This is the makar that a siyum is considered to be a sudas mitzvah. And that's exactly what Rabban is saying. He's saying you complete a new step in Kabbalah Satorah, that the chance to write down the Torah, the Avadim, v'samachta v'nei Hashem, v'achavta v'samachta, sudas mitzvah. Shlomo Melech reached a new stage in his chachma, sudas mitzvah. Interesting. And legemer shel Torah. That's what the Shir Rabbah says. You make a completion, a siyum, sudas mitzvah. Interesting that the Ramban appears to say, when he talks about his nagvus of binyan beis hamikdash, that doesn't seem to be directly related to Torah. So that seems to be expanded more broadly to sudas mitzvah for the mitzvah. They completed the mitzvah of gathering materials for beis hamikdash. That too called for a sudas mitzvah. So Rabban says, "B'yom chasunas haTorah," they were celebrating Kabbalah haTorah, and perhaps as well celebrating the madrega that they had achieved, madrega that Kadosh Baruch had granted them with this glorious nevuah. So Rabban says, "This is, as I said before, a celebratory Rabban, a celebratory pasuk, according to the approach Rabban. This is the source for sudas mitzvah, and particularly a siyum, particularly attaining a new level of Kabbalah haTorah." That calls for celebration. Lechol v'lishtos v'lesmoch v'nei Hashem. Not chalila a hedonistic bacchanalian orgy. Adrava. To take the eating and drinking, the capacity for eating and drinking, and the capacity for physical simcha that eating and drinking affords us, neither to deny it, nor to just engage in it hedonistically with no purpose and no self-discipline. But as I said, they came down, and they ate the Kabbalah Shlom in the right way, in the right place, and they channeled the Achila, the Shtia, into Simchas Mitzvah. That's a powerful Ramban. And for the Ramban, this is not, as Rashi put it, sort of like a discordant, sour note in an otherwise glorious story of the Bris Sina and Kabbalah HaTorah, but for the Ramban, this is part of the beautiful crescendo of the symphony of Kabbalah HaTorah, the symphony of Bris Sina, and it part of the glorious close was they made a sudas mitzvah. They celebrated this chasunas haTorah. They celebrated the marriage of the Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu via the Torah, the bris. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was showing Klal Yisrael. You're forging a relationship, a permanent relationship with Ribbono Shel, a bris, an eternal bond, and that's something that called for this chasana. The chasana of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael is the bris at the end of the Mishpatim, and this Vayochu Vayishtu was the Sudas Nisuin. This was the Sudas Chasna. And this is the source in general for Sudas Mitzvah in our lives. And Rabbi, thank you so much.